Good morning, everyone. I was kind of enjoying just sitting there, and then Anne spoke. Hopefully, even this quickly, you've picked up, I'm not really from Ballymena, not even from Ballyrushy, I'm not even from Northern Ireland. I was glad Inverness, could I mention? Who was, yes, in the prayer. Inverness, I'm not even from Inverness. I'm further west, originally from the Isle of Lewis, which is off the northwest coast of Scotland, but Ballymena's been home for the last 26 years or so. But hopefully I haven't lost too much of the accent, and hopefully you can still understand me. Want to say a thank you to Phil for allowing me to speak, even if you do know me. It was a real joy for us to have Phil and Terry with us for 3 years, apparently. And that was back a few years ago. Everything good in them came from their time in West Church. Just remember that. Anything bad, any bad habits, that came from the year in Trinity in Ballymoney. So get that sorted in your heads and we'll be fine. I think if I were to ask you this morning, what is the thing that you live for? What are you living for today? I'd probably get lots of different answers. And maybe for some of you, you would say, well, it's church. I just love everything about church. So much so, I'm at everything, every time the door is open. That's fair enough. Or maybe for some of you, you live for your family. And yeah, that's a good thing. Hopefully they're not your family, aren't quite like the Simpsons there. But everything you do is centred around your family, maybe your home, your car, things like that. Or maybe for you, it's holidays. Anyone going on holiday this week? I hope to be lying in the sun on Tuesday evening. So I'm looking forward to my holiday, but I don't exactly live for holidays. What about fashion? Maybe some of you, looking out, I would say some of you are into your fashion, into your shopping. Looking at me, no, I'm not shopping. It's one of these things you have to do now and again, even to get food in the cupboard. But maybe some of you, you just live for getting out to spend your husband's money. Oh, well, the men are laughing at that one. Or maybe for you, it's sport. And I've put up here F1 because I love my Formula One. It's just another 5 or 6 weeks to go. Or for the Ballymena men in the congregation, maybe it's a football and the League Cup that Ballymena won last night. Or maybe it's rugby or netball or surfing. No. But maybe you love watching the sport and all of that. Or maybe for some of you, you just live for the weekend. You can't wait until a Friday when you finish work or finish uni and you can get out partying and socialising and all the rest of it. And none of these things are bad in themselves. But they can be if you allow them to take complete control of your life. You see, the motto for PW, wonder if any of you know it. It's living for Jesus. And even when I was coming up the road in the car, I was thinking, you know, living for Jesus, in a way, it's doing something that you would willingly give up your life for Jesus. Now, all these different things we looked at there, we might live for them, but I doubt if we would die for them. Like, even if I don't get off on holiday on Tuesday, no great odds. I'll be disappointed. But I won't die to get there. But for us and for living for Jesus, that must be or that should be the top priority. And it's not just for the woman in the PW. It's for all of us that we should be living for Jesus. One of my favourite characters in the Bible is Peter, or as you would say, Peter. Right? So you get what I'm talking about when I say Peter. Because I talk funny seemingly. And Peter was one of these guys who lived for Jesus. And in Mark's gospel that we heard together earlier on, we read of how Jesus called Peter to be a disciple. And we're not sure if Peter lived for Jesus up until this point, but certainly from this point on, his life changed. Certainly from this point on, he started living for Jesus. Peter was a fisherman. I don't know if you know much about fishing. Coming from an island, we watched the fishermen go out in the trawlers in all sorts of weather. And it's a tough old life. And I'm not sure if Peter lived for his fishing. I'm not sure if that was the thing that occupied his mind day and night. But that was his occupation. But from this point, when he met Jesus, he started to live for Jesus. And he became one of Jesus' closest friends, along with James and John. When Jesus spoke to Peter and to Andrew here, or to Simon as he was then, we read that at once they left their nets and followed. They didn't have to think about it. They didn't wait until they were older. They didn't wait until they knew more about it. They just left everything and followed Jesus. And right at the start this morning, I want to ask you, have you heard Jesus calling your name? Have you heard Jesus asking you to follow him? And if you have you done anything about it? Has Jesus called your name? And have you done anything about it? What has your response been to that question? Or maybe you're still making excuses why you can't follow Jesus, because you're too young, you're too old, or whatever. But I want us to look briefly this morning at Peter's life and see what we can discover from his life. I've got to that stage in life where the glasses come off to read, and yes, I'm that old. Often when we look at people in the Bible, we think, well, they had a great life. It must have been great to live with Jesus. It must have been great to hear him speak. It must have been so easy to be a first century Christian. And sure, you were with Jesus all the time, so things were so easy. And we might think, you know, they don't know the problems that I face today in 2017. They don't know how hard it is to be a Christian in Ballyrushane and Coleraine and Portrush, wherever it is that you live. And for Peter, it was no different really for him. He had issues as well. He had highs and lows in his life. He had ups and downs. But at the same time, he was a true disciple and he was a follower of Jesus in name and in life. He was one of Jesus' disciples. He was one of his closest friends. But he was also susceptible to highs and lows, to ups and downs. And I'm sure we've all been at points in our life where, yes, we felt everything is going well. Everything is great. It's so good being a Christian today. And other times when we've been down in the depths and we've wondered what on earth is going on. We've wondered where God is in the midst of all that's going on around us. Peter was an ordinary man. Nothing flash, nothing special about him, just a fisherman. Worked alongside his brother Andrew. Very ordinary, very much probably like you and me. And each day was probably spent mending nets, or going out fishing, or sorting out the fish after he came back home. Nothing that dramatic about it. But I want us to look at just a couple of low points in his life. A couple of times when it seemed as if everything had hit rock bottom. And I'm sure probably some of us have been at those points. And maybe today you're in that situation where you've hit a low point. and you're wondering, where is God in all of this? You see, Peter had left everything to follow Jesus. He'd left everything that was familiar to him, and he and the other disciples spent their time with Jesus. They spent their time, their days, their nights, listening to him preach wonderful sermons. They saw him perform amazing miracles. They were with him night and day. And for us today, sitting here this morning, we might think, well, that must have been just fantastic. The greatest teacher, the Son of God, with you night and day. Spending time with him, getting to know him, being able to ask him questions, all sorts of different things like that. It must have been so easy for Peter to live for Jesus. And yet, as we read into his story, as we read into his life, we see that during the Last Supper, when the disciples were all gathered together and they were debating about which of them was the greatest, Jesus turned to Peter at that point and Jesus said to Peter that he would be greatly tested by Satan. And Peter replied to him and said to Jesus, I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to die for you. And then Jesus tells them that he's going to deny knowing him 3 times. Put yourself in Peter's shoes at this point. One of his greatest friends was telling him, you're going to deny knowing me. And maybe if someone came to you today and said, you're going to deny knowing Jesus 3 times, you would be horrified. But for Peter, it must have seemed so much worse. And you can almost feel the hurt in Peter's heart as he protests that he could never deny knowing Jesus. Let's take a walk with Peter and John and James to the Garden of Gethsemane, just not that long after this. And Peter had said that he would do anything for Jesus. And Jesus knew what was ahead of him, and so he went to the garden to pray. And he said to the disciples, look, you stay here, and I'm going to go and pray. And Jesus said to them, watch and pray. And Jesus went off, and he was praying with his Father. And the story is familiar to us. He came back, and what did he find? Well, he found that the disciples were sleeping. He'd asked them to pray, and he came back, and they were sound asleep. And he asked them again the second time, watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. And again, he went off to pray with his Father. And again, he returned to find the disciples were sleeping. And this time, Jesus said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The time has come. Wonder how bad Peter felt at this point. Not that long ago, he said, I'll do anything for you. And yet here he was, he'd been asked a simple thing, just to stay awake, to pray, and yet he had let Jesus down. It's a very low point for Peter in his life. That simple thing that Jesus had asked him to do, and he couldn't even do that. He wasn't able to commit even to doing that. He'd messed up big time. And as we see Jesus being tried and taken before the high priest, as he's being falsely accused, as he's being tried, and he's facing one of the darkest hours of his life, where do we see Peter? We see Peter again letting him down. We see Peter denying him. The guy who said he would die for him. And yet, as he denied him the third time, the rooster crowed, just like he had just like Jesus had spoken about. And in Matthew 26, we read that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He knew he'd let Jesus down. He knew he had been a real disappointment to him. He knew he had messed up once more. He'd let down the one he said he would die for, the one who he had been living for, and yet now he's a broken man, and he's let his Saviour down. And this is probably Peter's lowest point. And I'm sure many people, many of the disciples even, wrote Peter off at this stage in his life. Just thought, he's a waste of space. And we'd probably have done the same thing. And we possibly do that when a Christian does something that we judge to be wrong and we just write them off. We tend to judge with a one strike and you're out type of attitude, rather than I love them unconditionally, or if a brother falls, help him up type of attitude. And I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know if you're in the depths or if you're on a high. I don't know if you can think of someone who has messed up in their Christian life. But instead of judging, why not give them a hand up? Why not put the arm around them and do as Jesus does? Love them unconditionally. For Peter, life had hit rock bottom. And our low points in life maybe don't seem as drastic. Somehow we tend to, we'll take a step back and we'll think, no, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Maybe we don't openly deny being a Christian or deny knowing Christ. But what about inwardly? Our low points can maybe come through not being obedient to something that God asks us to do. Or maybe we fail to show his love to someone who's different to us. And that's a very topical one these days. Or maybe it's when we do something we know is wrong. And we know that we've let God down. We've all messed up in different ways. Doesn't matter how young, how old, doesn't matter who we are, we've all messed up at different stages in our lives. But for Peter, the thing doesn't end there. Yes, he had lows in his life, he had low points in his life, but thankfully there were some high points as well. When things weren't quite as bad, when things seemed to be going right for him. And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, we see Jesus asking a question. Who do people say the Son of Man is? And we read that the disciples said, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus asked the question, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And only one had the courage to speak, and it was Peter. And Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here Peter was confessing Jesus as both the promised Messiah and as divine. He was saying, yes, this is the one we've waited for. This is the one who was foretold in the Old Testament. But he's no ordinary man. He's the Son of the living God. And this is probably one of the greatest confessions that came from Peter. It's probably one of the greatest confessions that we read in Scripture. Because this, it was as if it blew the whole thing right out into the open. People knew then who Jesus was and who Jesus is. And the area that Jesus and his disciples were in at the time, it was Caesarea Philippi, and it was identified with several religions. It was the centre of Baal worship. There were shrines to Greek gods there. Herod the Great had built a temple in memory of Augustus Caesar. And in the midst of all of that pagan superstition, Peter makes this amazing statement that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the midst of the darkness, Peter spoke light. He spoke truth. And we're not sure if Peter kind of patted himself on the back that day. But I'm sure some of the disciples looked at him and thought, wow, how did he figure that out? But of course, Jesus says that it was only that only God could have told him. And if I were to ask you that same question today, who do you say Jesus is? How would you respond? A good man? A historical figure from Scripture? A man they speak about in church every Sunday? Or could you say today, yes, he's my saviour. Yes, I know him as the Son of the living God. I know him as saviour and Lord. Do you know him personally today? Or is he just that figure that you hear about and you've heard about since you were a youngster? Doesn't really mean anything to you. Jesus' response to Peter on that day was, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not overcome it." This was Jesus saying, "Well done, Peter. You've done well today. You're at the top of the class." And this was a high point for Peter. He'd done something right for a change. He'd spoken words that only God could have told him. And he's the one who answered Jesus correctly. He was probably high as he realized himself the truth that he had spoken. And who was standing before him? Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. One other high we'll look at quickly is from the book of Acts and chapter 2. And this took place after Jesus' death and resurrection. And Acts 2 is an account of the happenings on the day of Pentecost. And we know that there were thousands of people there. It's about 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. And on that day, the Spirit came just as Jesus had promised. And Peter preached that day like he had never preached before. We'd probably say today he preached the socks off himself. But he preached, he spoke about Jesus, he spoke truth, he spoke life. And we read that afterwards, 3,000 souls were saved. 3,000 people came to faith as a result of that one message that Peter preached. Not that long ago, Peter thought his ministry was over. He thought he'd messed up so badly that there was no hope. And yet Jesus gave him a fresh opportunity and he sealed it with 3,000 souls. Surely that was a seal of approval for Peter. And I don't know if you've had any highs like Peter. We've probably all had the lows. But what about the highs? There's probably been times in your life when, yes, you've thought your heart would burst because of something that God has done in or through you. Something that you've spoken about and it's impacted on someone's life. You've been obedient to something that God asked you to do. Maybe you've spoken to someone about your faith, and that takes courage. But boy, it gives you a high when you talk about Jesus, your Saviour, to someone. And it just comes alive in you. Or maybe when you lead someone to Jesus for the first time, and it's a high that nothing else can take the place of. One of my favourite parts of the story of Peter is found at the end of the Gospel of John. And in my Bible, it's entitled, Jesus Reinstates Peter. Peter had probably been doubting if Jesus could use him again, or wanted anything to do with him even. He thought he'd messed up that badly. But it's here we find the balance to the Peter denying Jesus three times, because three times Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" And then he says to him, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." And then again he says to him, "Follow me." Jesus was restoring Peter to his ministry. It didn't matter the things he had done. It didn't matter the mess he had made. Jesus was showing him, "Look, I still love you. Yes, you've messed up, but I still love you and I still want to use you." And it's interesting that Jesus' first words to Peter were, "Follow me." And his last words, or among his last words to Peter, were, "Follow me." And that's all Jesus wants from us. He wants us to follow him so that we can live for him. In his life and ministry, Peter was living daily for Jesus. He experienced highs and lows. He was normal. He was just like us. But the important thing was that he loved the Lord. And I'm sure if Peter was around today, and he came into Ballyrosheen and we're singing one of Chris Tomlin's songs, he would be the one who would be singing the loudest, "You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. You are amazing, God." You see, Peter stumbled and fell, but he never failed to follow. And so often we stumble and we fall and we just give up. But God doesn't give up on us. So where are you at today? We've all had struggles. We've all had difficulties in our lives. We've all had ups and downs. But what about today? The 19th of February, 2017. Are you living for him today? The core issue and the thing that's most important in life is our love for Jesus Christ. You know, God is gracious. God is forgiving. And he doesn't give up on us. No matter how much we mess up, he doesn't give up on us. We so often give up on people. Maybe because they say something we don't agree with. They do something we think is wrong. And we give up and we think, hopeless case. But you'll never hear those words from Jesus. Do you love Jesus today? And if so, are you living for him? You see, the key to living for Jesus is simply loving him with all of your heart, so that he's the center of your life. And I want to encourage you, if you're thinking your life is too messed up for Jesus to use, too messed up for Jesus to love you, Take a look at Peter. Take heart. Even at the depths that he sunk to, Jesus still loved him and used him. And Peter lived and loved Jesus. You know, it's a quote I read some time ago has stuck with me. And it's just simply this: it's better to be a follower who sometimes fails than one who fails to follow. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today that even in the midst of our failures, even in the midst of the times when we get things wrong, that you do still love us. And Lord, we pray today that you will take us as you find us, with all our fears and failures, and that you would fill our lives again. And we give our lives to follow everything we believe in, and we surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen.